You are listening to Community Radio, WERU-FM, 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 Bangor. The time is 4 o'clock. Stay tuned for Radioactive.
Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown. Co-host Meredith DeFrancesco is away this week. Today I'll be talking with Jesse Graham of the Maine People's Alliance, who'll give us an update on their lawsuit against the companies responsible for serious mercury pollution in this area. We'll also discuss other ways to get mercury out of the environment. But first, this announcement. The second annual Cuba Update, a project of Let Cuba Live, will be held Saturday, January 19th at 1 p.m. at the First Congregational Church on Elm Street in Camden, which is diagonally across Route 1 from the Stop and Go. A light lunch, Cuban music, and conversation will be followed by presentations that will focus on the Cuban healthcare system, legal aspects of the embargo, a legislative update, overview of the Cuban economy, Cuban non-governmental organizations, and tours to Cuba. A general discussion will follow. For more information, call Steve at 273-3247. When Holterchem Manufacturing went bankrupt a little over a year ago, the company and its predecessors left a legacy of mercury pollution in the area, as well as a stockpile of several tons of the toxic substance. Mercury is a known neurotoxin, which can cause birth defects, brain damage, and developmental disabilities, among other things. The Maine People's Alliance has been involved in bringing a lawsuit against the former owners of the plant with the hopes that they will have to clean up the mess that they left behind. Jesse Graham, the Penobscot Valley Community Organizer for the Maine People's Alliance, is joining us by phone today to give us an update. Are you there, Jesse?
I sure am.
Hi, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Where do you want to start, Jesse? You want to kind of give us maybe some background on the lawsuits and then an update on what's happened more recently, maybe?
Sure, that sounds fine. Yeah, jump in anywhere if you want to clarify anything.
Okay.
The Maine People's Alliance first filed this lawsuit in April of 2000, before Holterchem had gone bankrupt or there was any sort of inclination that they were going to close down. And it was to force Holterchem and former owner and builder of the plant, Mallinckrodt, to really study and clean up mercury pollution in the Penobscot River in the sediments, where they really had not done any mercury studies and were really not planning to do any cleanup. Whereas the EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, and the Maine DEP had been looking at and pursuing cleanup of mercury at the actual Holterchem site. And they're continuing to do that. But as of right now, they still have not really pursued any cleanup plans for, downriver of the Penobscot River. So that's why we first brought the lawsuit.
And what are the estimates of what is actually in the river that needs to be cleaned up?
Well, we've done some studies, and they're definitely very small compared to what needs to be done. And we've found really highly elevated levels of mercury, especially right in front of the plant. There's extremely high levels, but also high levels of mercury even above the plant because of the tidal effect, and fairly far down the river, as far as like Searsport, I think, is where this study went to.
Mm.
But definitely, tens and even hundreds of times what we would consider to be like the background levels of mercury.
And there were several spills during the time that these two companies were there.
Yeah, I mean, in the late and mid-90s, I think Holterchem was kind of a poster child of bad environmentalism. They had, definitely, I think, 8 or 9 spills within a year. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about, a lot of problems that they were having.
Right. So tell us a little bit about where the lawsuit is at now and the recent motions or the recent denials of motions
right.
by the judge.
Yeah. It's been delayed for a while now while Judge Margaret Kravchuk here in Bangor, and she's a magistrate judge, has been reviewing Mallinckrodt's sort of motions to dismiss our case. And they were basically going at 3 different points. One, they were saying that they didn't cause the mercury pollution. the second they were saying is they were arguing that the timing of the lawsuit, our lawsuit, was off and there it was bad, and therefore we couldn't bring this suit. And then they were also arguing this idea is called primary jurisdiction, and I'll go through all three of those a little bit and explain them. I guess the first one, just they're basically were looking to show that they were not liable for mercury contamination. As Amy said earlier, we have mercury in every lake and river in Maine, and certainly that all isn't, you know, the responsibility of Holtrkamp and Mallinckrodt. But I think, and as far as what Magistrate Judge Krapcheck said, it's definitely an issue that'll be brought up at, needs to be brought up at trial. We think that there's obviously a much higher level of mercury pollution in lakes surrounding the greater Orington area and in the Penobscot River, certainly why we, you know, brought this lawsuit. So she said, go.
I'm sorry, I wanted to clarify. They're saying they didn't cause any of the mercury contamination?
That's what they're trying to say, yeah. They're saying, well, there's mercury everywhere, you know, sir, everywhere in Maine, so you can't say that we caused it.
But weren't any of the spills happening while they were there?
Definitely. And I think that's certainly why Judge Krapcheck disagreed with them. She didn't say that, yes, you did do this, but she said this will be have to be brought out at trial. So we'll get to hopefully argue that in front of a judge soon. The second thing they were saying is that, I guess it's sort of a timing issue. They were saying that our lawsuit should be barred because we didn't bring it in a timely manner. So they were saying that we knew about mercury pollution for a long time, and we should have brought this lawsuit back in the 80s, I guess is maybe what they're saying. But we have pretty good proof that MPA has been involved in this issue ongoing, you know, working with responsible, working with Mallinckrodt and Holtrkamp, trying to get them to switch over to a mercury-free process, as well as working with the EPA and DEP, and working to get them to, you know, to clean up the mercury pollution and to, have them stop these spills. So we have pretty good proof that we have been involved, you know, working through other means to try to get this problem solved, and that, you know, it was until April of 2000 before we decided that the lawsuit was the best way to go about it.
So they're on the one hand saying they didn't cause the pollution, but on the other hand saying you should have sued them sooner?
Yeah, exactly. I guess you put them together, it may not make a lot of sense. And that's, I mean, certainly the judge, Margaret Krapcheck, definitely agreed with a lot of our points in her ruling. And the third issue they're arguing is that because the Environmental Protection Agency and the Department of Environmental Protection here in Maine are currently working with Mallinckrodt to actually clean up the site, they're saying that this lawsuit sort of conflicts with that, is their argument. We can show that the EPA and DEP and Mallinckrodt are not doing anything about the downriver sediments, and they're just only focusing with the mercury contamination on the site. And so that's our argument, is that these two things are definitely separate. It's a little bit confusing.
Right. No, I think what I understand what you're saying is that what the DEP and EPA are focusing on is right there, mm-hmm. what's specifically on the site. But could you say a little bit about what they are doing on the site, even though they're not taking into account the further effects downstream?
It's an ongoing process that they're working through right now. They're continuing a site investigation report, they call it, but it's basically looking at all the, you know, areas of the site where, you know, mercury contamination is. There's five, you know, waste landfills there, so they're definitely doing a lot of studies on the site to figure out what they want to do and what they should do there. It's not just mercury, but there's also chloropicrin, different chemicals that are there that they're working on looking into.
Any estimates on how long they'll study it before they start actually cleaning it up?
They should be finishing studying it soon. And what they say is that they're going to come out with proposed cleanup standards sometime in the next 2 months, I think, is what their plan is. And this is where citizens can really get involved, because we're pretty sure, we don't know for a fact, once we see these actual standards that they come up with, that they're going to be weak. And so in that case, citizens can, there'll be a public meetings, there'll be a comment period where citizens can get involved to let the EPA and DEP know that, you know, that these standards may be too weak for what we want.
What about people's private wells? What are they doing in that area to assure that their wells are safe?
Yeah, they as far as studies that they've done, they've been keeping really track of some wells that are nearby, and so far none have showed any mercury contamination in them. One thing that they just announced 2 months ago is they're going to start a sort of a health study, and it's not, I don't want to really call it a health study, but they're going to start to compile some of the health information in Orrington. And this is something that's done for every Superfund site around the country. So while this isn't a Superfund site, they've decided to at least start to compile some of the health information around. So we can, once they finish doing that, we can kind of see if anything comes of that.
Do they look for anything specific when they're looking at mercury contamination?
I'm not sure exactly. I mean, they're going to... I think they will be pretty thorough, but I'm not sure exactly what specifically, if there's anything they're going to look for.
Looking at developmental disabilities,
right,
or autism,
yeah.
Or
yeah, I'm assuming they will do that. Yeah.
Okay, and so I'm sorry, I kind of got you off track there.
Yeah. So then, and they also need the next thing they'll do once they come out with these proposed cleanup standards is they're going to they have to work to get Mallinckrodt to sign what they call a consent decree, but it basically means that they're going to, you know, get Mallinckrodt to sign on the dotted line and say that they will pay for all of this cleanup. And once they do that, then they go into they call it a corrective measure study. So, and corrective measures basically means what are they going to actually do when they clean it up? Are they just going to pave it all over and call that fine, or are they actually going to, dig it up and move contaminated sediments, to a secure place, so we don't know exactly what they'll come up with, but probably a lot of different things for the actual cleanup. And I think their estimate is that, each of these steps, there'll be public meetings and comment periods, and a final sort of cleanup decision won't come until winter of 2003, so a year or more from now, with first cleanup probably happening in the summer of 2003.
And are any punitive damages being sought if they do find that people have, I know that they can't base that on things they haven't found yet, but are there any punitive damages being sought for what's happened with the fish in the river, for example, or?
I don't think anyone has attempted to file that type of suit yet.
So your lawsuit is specifically about cleanup then?
Definitely specifically about cleanup and really focused on cleanup of mercury in the sediments of the river.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it focuses on because it's something that they have really failed to do. One thing I wanted to just read is Judge Kravchuk, one of her recommendations, there's a quote from her, but she said, in my view, this citizen suit is precisely the sort of citizen suit contemplated by Congress, one in which citizens are seeking to enforce environmental laws in circumstances that the relevant administrative agencies have overlooked or otherwise failing to diligently prosecute. So it's like, her quote is pretty much right on with what we're doing. So we're definitely very happy about that. Where the EPA and DEP have failed to really push for cleanup of the river area or even study of the river area, and, Mallinckrodt and Holtzschemm sort of deny that there's even a problem there.
And so she, her rulings on their motions was in support and all 3 points in support of Maine People's Alliance's position?
Yep, definitely in support of us with the idea that we should go forward to trial. And if they had ruled the other way in favor of Mallinckrodt, the lawsuit would basically be over. We could appeal, but it would be over. So, yeah, it looks like we will go forward to trial. But, again, I just want to make sure it's clear that her report here as a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
This goes down to Judge Eugene Carter in Portland, and he will make the final decision. On other things that have been going on, ongoing in this lawsuit, he has seconded her opinion word for word, has made no changes, and I expect he'll do the same thing.
Do you have an estimate on when the trial date will be?
The estimate really is soon. They think it will move forward pretty quickly, and I would say within the first quarter of this year, so the next 2 or 3 months.
Wow. Okay, so you'll keep us updated on what's up with that, right?
Certainly will.
And you had a few other items of interest about mercury pollution that you wanted to talk about.
This session, this next legislative session, is a short one, but there are going to be two mercury bills that are going to be introduced. So it'll be public hearings. They haven't set the exact date, but probably a public hearing later on in January, where any people out there who are concerned about mercury could certainly come and testify. So I'll tell you a little bit about each of those. The first one is an act to phase out mercury-added products. So folks might remember last year there was a bill to ban mercury thermometers that passed, mercury that's added to a thermometer. This bill is going to include not only thermometers but thermostats and electrical switches, as well as there's a sort of a whole list of mercury-added products, but those are some of the big ones. And basically, it just starts to phase these out, because one of the biggest sources of mercury pollution to our environment, now that Holter Chem is closed, is that mercury that gets into our waste stream. So when someone throws away a thermometer, or electrical switches are thrown away, when a house is demolished or something, these get incinerated in either the MRC or PERC facilities, which basically burn our waste. And that mercury goes back into the environment. Mm-hmm. And so this would also, it exempts any products that there aren't cost-effective mercury-free alternatives for. But for thermometers, thermostats, and electrical switches, there are already cost-effective alternatives to those products.
Can people get alternative products just by going to a regular store? Do they have to just, how can people tell if they're buying an alternative that doesn't have mercury, if they're buying the new light switch, for example?
Yeah, well, certainly like thermometers, there are digital thermometers, mm-hmm. and there's been lots of like trade-in programs now, so you can trade in your mercury thermometer and get a digital one. But yeah, part of a bill that we worked on in 1999, and I think that will comes due this year, is that all products that contain mercury will now have to be labeled as so,
mm-hmm.
so that as consumers we can, pick and choose which ones do or don't contain mercury. And that was a bill that passed in 99, I'm trying to remember, but I think the actual, when it actually will appear on shelves, is this year, 2002. Mm. I won't be positive on that, but I think that's right.
So who is sponsoring the bill that you just
Yeah, this
mentioned?
One is by Representative Scott Cowger, and he's a co-chair of the Natural Resources Committee.
So he would be the person to contact if people wanted to express support, or
yep.
are there people who are resisting it that need to be contacted?
Well, it's pretty new. They just started meeting. The entire legislature just started meeting last week. They haven't even really come out with when these will actually be heard.
So none of these are carryovers from all of the stuff last year?
These are new.
New.
Yeah. Okay. And then the second one is an act to prevent mercury emissions when recycling and disposing cars and trucks and vehicles. And this one's sponsored by John Martin. He's also a co-chair of the Natural Resources Committee, and it's sponsored on behalf of the Department of Environmental Protection. So it's their bill.
Where in cars is mercury?
Well, probably the most famous one is in your trunk. So if you've noticed when your trunk, if you open your trunk and it kind of bounces a little bit, the light will go on and off, just based on the mercury floats back and forth. So I know I would be comfortable if there was just a little click or whatever in my when my trunk opened. It doesn't need to have a mercury switch.
So there's mercury in that and in other places in vehicles too. There's a significant amount.
Headlamps. Headlamps is another one. So what this bill would do is that when you were, for example, buying a used car, you could ask that all the switches be changed to mercury-free, and that this would be at the cost of the auto manufacturer.
Wow.
And then also when any car is scrapped or recycled, all these switches as well as the headlamps would have to be removed.
Okay, so these are both state bills. These aren't federal bills. So if people are interested in learning more about them, I know you can go on the state's website to actually read the bills, but they also can contact whoever their legislator is if they're so inclined, or contact you, I assume.
Yeah, I'm not sure when the actual day is, but I will be driving down to Augusta probably to bring any folks that are interested in this greater area down to testify.
Great. And how do people get in touch with you, Jesse, or Maine People's Alliance?
Yeah, the easiest way is you can call me at our Bangor office. And if folks have pens, this number is 990-0672.
Okay, and is there a website, email?
The website is definitely under construction right now. We're hoping to get that up and going soon, so there's not a website right now. But they can email me. My email is jgmpabgr, that's at Prexar, PREXAR.com. So it's like Jesse Graham, Maine People's Alliance, Bangor.
Okay. Anything else that you want to put out there real quick before we wrap up?
No, I think that is about it. I think these two bills will be pretty important. You can definitely know that the automobile manufacturers are going to fight against those. And also, I just encourage folks that if they do live along the Penobscot River in this region, that there's going to be a lot going on with Holtergem over the next really year, where citizens can have a big influence on a good cleanup there. And if we don't get involved, then I think we stand a lot to lose.
Okay, well, thanks, Jesse, and keep us posted.
Thank you very much.
But I want to introduce a great, great young singer-songwriter from Green, Maine, the pride of the Maine Youth Campfire Collective and the Maine Global Action Network. Mr. Ethan Miller is going to come up here and play us a song. Please give him a warm Maine welcome.
Thanks for coming out. I wrote this song after I learned about the United States government dropping food packets and bombs at the same time on the country of Afghanistan. And when they started dropping these bombs, the food packets and the cluster bomblets that fell to the ground unexploded were the same color. They were both yellow, and so people couldn't distinguish between the food and the bombs. Then the food was also being dropped into landmine fields. Afghanistan has more landmines unexploded than any country in the world. And so we were dropping food into the middle of these landmine fields, and people had to risk their lives to get it. So I wrote this song. It's called Bombs and Bombs or Bread.
Skyscrapers are thrown to the earth. Thousands lie dead beneath the concrete and dirt. Now know this suffering, now know this pain. How many lives have been lost in the flames? No sooner had innocent lives met their end. Compassion was trampled by cries for revenge. Our enemies cried radios and TV sets are evil and hate us and must meet their deaths. You're with us or the terrorists, the president said, with GE and Raytheon nodding their heads. Hand over your hearts and your minds to the feds. We'll kill them with bombs while we feed them with bread. or bread, you can't drop both. Offer death or offer hope. Bombs or bread, you can't drop both. Offer death or offer hope. 300,000 meals tumbling on down into the landmine fields, onto the deadly ground. Pretend to be merciful while the bombs pound. The of suffering goes round and around and around. Bombs or bread, you can't drop both. Offer death or offer hope. Bombs or bread, you can't drop both. Offer death or displaced. Call it the empire showing its ugly face. Call it the empire showing its ugly face. Bombs or bread, you can't drop both. Offer death or offer hope. Bombs or bread, you can't drop both. Offer death.
That was Ethan Miller with Bombs or Bread, recorded by Maine Indie Media at the N17 Peace March in Kennebunkport. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown. Co-host Meredith DeFrancesco will be back next week. We'd like to thank Joel Mann for engineering today, Andy Buckley for web support, and you for listening and acting. You can reach us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on our website, www.freespeech.org/RAN, or at maine.indymedia.org. Please join us again next Thursday and stay tuned now for Free Speech Radio News and Democracy Now! Still in Exile.